I was really glad the first word after Mr. Child's mouth after he prayed was stay. Because I thought for a minute, somebody was going to leave or something. But he said stay. Then he was saying stand. So I'm glad you stayed. I want to mention a little announcement here about the Master of Arts class. If you as a junior or senior would be interested in taking the next class that's coming up during the spring break, make sure you stop by and see Dr. King or myself. We'd be glad to help you. You can get it at half price. It's a great opportunity, and Dr. McLaughlin's going to be here. I know maybe a lot of you aren't familiar with Dr. McLaughlin. He's been on our campus in the past. He's an excellent speaker. He's a tremendous theologian, a student of the Word, and he's been in a lot of settings that gives him a lot of great experience. So I'd especially invite those who are in the pastoral studies program to consider taking this class, because it's going to really focus on that area, not totally, but it's going to talk a lot about core values in pastoral ministry. So just keep that in mind, and if it can work out for you, I think it'd be great. Well, you know, the message on Monday from Mr. Lilly, he dealt with, you know, how, and give some examples of being servants of all, and he ended with a question at the very end. He said, what is your mission? You remember that? You may remember that. He asked that question. And I kind of want to pick up on that today a little bit, because I want to talk about assessment. And I know that probably doesn't stir within you all kinds of emotions and loving thoughts about God, but I'm going to try to make that happen, okay, if God willing. But, you know, right now at Appalachian Bible College, a lot of you probably don't realize that we're going through a reaffirmation self-study for ABHE. ABHE stands for Association of Biblical Higher Education. And we're right now, actually we started last year, this is our second year involved with this, and getting ready for a visit that's going to happen this coming September. Towards the end of September, we're going to have a team come to our campus. All of you who are going to be returning next year, they'll be here for 3 or 4 days, and they'll be evaluating our campus and our curriculum and everything, looking at us for reaffirmation of our accreditation that we've had with ABHE since 1967. Every 10 years, you have to go through this process. Last year, some of you even served on some of the committees that were working on some of the information, gathering data. And now the steering committee is working about every other Wednesday. We get together for a couple hours, and we're working on putting the document together. There's actually three documents involved. A compliance document, which shows that we are meeting the standards of ABHE. Did I get an amen out there or something here? Come on. All right, thank you, all right. That we're meeting the standards of ABHE, and we have to show that. There's several different criteria that there's involved, and we have to show them that we're doing that. There's a planning document we have to provide, which shows our strategic plan and, you know, where's our planning in the future for Appalachian Bible College. The third one is an assessment plan, and that's kind of what I want to focus on. I want to talk to you about that. Then I want to take you to a passage of Scripture that talks about personal assessment. You know, we spend a lot of time, I have to say, I spent a lot of time in my life on assessment for Appalachian Bible College. And I'm happy to do that, and I'm glad that I have this privilege. But it really got me to thinking, after Mr. Lilly spoke, how much time do I spend on personal assessment? How much time do you spend asking God to personally search your heart? That's the passage. So let's take a look at this today. Here's what our assessment plan says. ABC's assessment plan is designed to enable the college to achieve its mission, goals, and objectives. Thus, the assessment plan offers an institutional process to provide feedback measures in order to reflect and improve upon outcomes that encourage institutional excellence and growth. And I highlighted that last phrase because that's the purpose of assessment. It's to grow. It's to get better. You know, there's a store uptown that's got a motto, better is better. That drives me crazy. What does that mean? Every time I hear that, I'm like, what does that mean? But I like to look at it this way. We want to be better, and we want to continue to be better. Does that make sense? That's what a purpose of an assessment plan is. And so we're trying to get to this point in which we're going to be able to reach a place in which we can show that we're doing better. So here's some specifics of this, okay? And then again, just look at the underlined words, okay? So we don't spend all day on this. These are principles. So we want to have continuous review and adjustment. All right? So what that means is that in order to be sure that we're where we ought to get better and to continue to be better, we've got to keep reviewing ourselves all the time. We've got to keep looking at everything, and you got to make little adjustments along the way. You learn something, that you're not doing right, here at ABC, we want to do it better, so we improve it. It requires resources. You're not going to have an effective assessment plan if you don't have some kind of resources to make it happen. You got to have people, and you got to have perhaps instruments. You know, we do surveys, you gather data. You have to have these resources. You have to have people. And then the administration's got the responsibility to design, select, and implement. That's the other thing. A lot of times you can have an assessment plan. It might sit on your shelf, but you might not ever do anything about it. That happens, okay? It's happened here. For our North Central visit many years ago, we developed this great assessment plan. It took a long time to develop it, and there it went on the shelf and sat there. Because it took so long to develop it, I was all wore out. But now we've realized, of course, we've got to get this thing going. So you got to implement it. Just like in your personal life, and we'll look at this later on, you can have all kinds of ideas about how you want to walk with the Lord closer. But if you don't do something about it, it's not going to happen, is it? And then to be successful, outcomes data has got to be used for the purpose of measuring and improving. So again, this is the purpose of assessment at Appalachian Bible College, is to for improvement. It's to get better. It's not just to have the plan, just, you know, look at this plan and make it look really pretty. We put all kinds of clip art on it, make it look nice. The idea is that something's going to happen. And assessment's a long-term, see, ongoing process involving continuous change and improvement. So this is the kind of thing we have to be constantly thinking about. Oh, sorry about that. All right, move on. All right. Now, it's not just because we have ABHE coming, but we have the Higher Learning Commission that we have standards for. We have our West Virginia Department of Education because of our elementary education program. I could just go on and on, okay, all these reasons why we're doing it. But here's one example, an illustration of the Higher Learning Commission. That's North Central. That's the other accrediting body that we have. They have five criteria, and the second one is preparing for the future, and it has to do with assessment. A big part of it. The organization's ongoing evaluation and assessment process provides reliable evidence of institutional effectiveness that clearly informs strategies for continuous improvement. So again, you get the idea. That assessment is to be continually improving. And here, I won't even go through all these again. These are specific to ABC now. Are you still awake? Hang in there, okay? I know this is maybe tough, but I'm trying to make a point here that you got to wait till the end to get the point. You have to have evidence. You have to have systems. You got to have feedback loops. In other words, if you say this is what you find out from your assessment, how are you showing that you're taking that and then doing something with it? All right? It's feedback to make things, and you got this loop going, okay? Periodic reviews of academic administrative subunits. You have adequate support for evaluation and assessment process. There's that guy again. Get off there. I'm tired of you, okay? So here's the point. I want to make sure you kind of get the basis of what assessment is and the idea behind it and the importance of it at Appalachian Bible College. Does everyone agree it's important? We do, okay? And there's a lot that's involved with it. I've given you years of work here in a few minutes of what has evolved here, okay? But here, let me give you some illustrations now. I'll be specific. Some of this material, you all students, a lot of times don't ever get to see this. And I thought today I'd just take and give you a little glimpse of some of the assessment things that we do at Appalachian Bible College, again, to hopefully make a point in our personal lives. A lot of you have taken the CAP test. Everyone here that's a junior or more has taken the CAP test, okay? And it's College Assessment of Academic Proficiency. And you notice up on the screen here, it's in writing skills, critical thinking, and essay writing. How many have taken the CAP test? Okay, all right. So you've taken these areas, and I want you to see here, we have data. Those who are juniors, this year, back in 2008, back in last fall, you took this CAP test. And when you were entering freshman, you had a writing skill score of 64.1. That's not out of 100, okay, so don't get nervous, all right? But as juniors, you had a 64.8. Which means we had a plus 0.7 increase. Now, you may say that seems like a very tiny amount, but actually that's pretty significant. And you can see the national norm there was 64.0, so we had actually a higher on that. Critical thinking, you see the same thing there, 1.2 increase from our freshmen who came when they took the test again as juniors, improved in these areas in essay writing. Here's a 10-year gain. We've gained 18% in writing skills, 15% in critical thinking, and 22% in essay writing. That is, Our students who came in as freshmen, who then took the test again when they were juniors, showed this kind of increase over a 10-year period. And I'm happy for that. That's good, okay? It shows that, why do we do this? Well, because we want to make sure that in these areas of writing skills, critical thinking, and essay, our faculty, we want to make sure that we're improving you in those areas. And we want to do even better. Here's another one. We work with this a lot, graduation rates. The term graduation rates, that applies that if you were a first semester full-time student at Appalachian Bible College, did you graduate within 6 years? That's how the government figures this out, okay? And so we had a 53% graduation rate back in last time this was calculated in 2006, and I just kind of compared it with some other institutions to show that in this area, we're doing pretty good, but you just don't want to look at this. This is, you know, you can look at this assessment and say, wow, we're doing great, let's quit. No, there's more to it. If we look at our graduation rates, and this from left to right, it's kind of backwards here, okay? So I don't know how come I did it that way, but in 2002, we were at 51%. In 2003, we were 59%. 2004, 58%, and then 55%. We've come down in our graduation rate. So that's something we've got to look at, figure out why is it that our graduation rate, not in numbers, but in percentages, is coming down. But, you know, then we want to compare ourselves to others because, you know, what are others doing? So here's a chart that shows we would be considered a small, minimally selective, or open institution. What that means is that we have our ACT entrance requirement isn't really high, very high. We don't have all these, you don't have to pass all these things in order to get here to ABC. You have to be a believer, at least claim you are, and you have to, you know, have 2 feet and, well, you don't have to have 2 feet really. As long as you can move around, breathe, we put you. No, I'm just kidding. It's minimally selective, and so the graduation rate for minimally selective or open institutions is 35.7, and we're at 52, so we are doing well, and we're glad for that, and that helps us to understand. You can't even read this chart, okay? This has to do with retention rates. This is our retention rates for about 10 years, and that means this rate has to do with when students come in the fall, how many of them return in the spring, how many versus how many graduate. This is probably a little better one. This is our overall retention rate for first-time, full-time students, and you can see this time we're not at the top. We're down towards the bottom, 58%. So we've got to work on this one. This is something, and we've been working on this as a staff for about 3 or 4 years, haven't we, staff? Trying to figure out ways we can retain students to maybe we can be proactive in helping students who want to stay at Appalachian Bible College. Here's another survey that some of you have taken, the SSI. How many took the SSI? Student Satisfaction Inventory. Some of you have taken it at least twice probably, right? This is an assessment in which students are asked, how important do you think this item is? And then how well do you think Appalachian Bible College is doing in achieving that item? So you see the two things I'm talking about? How important is this? And how do we think ABC is doing? And then what we're looking for as an institution are the gaps. If you think as a student this is important and we're way down here, we want to know that, okay? Now here, these are the highest things that you as students said were important to you. This is on a scale of 1 to 6. So these are all high. You consider that faculty being good spiritual role models is very important. That's the number one thing. I'm glad. I think they should be too, right? And that's good. The college has helped me to grow spiritually. You think that's important. The campus provides an atmosphere for spiritual growth. The faculty apply biblical principles. The content of my course is valuable. Anyway, I'm not going to read all these, but you get the idea. These are areas that you said are important. And then this is shows our satisfaction. How satisfied were you as students versus all the other schools in the ABHE, about 100 other schools. So what you said was high was that tuition paid is a worthwhile investment. That was what students here at Appalachian Bible College said about our institution. Higher than compared to most ABHE schools. Campus staff are caring and helpful. Students are made to feel welcome here. I'm able to register for classes. I think that's supposed to say with few conflicts. That's weird. I'm able to register for classes I need. Oh, that's right. I need with few conflicts. Okay. Can't read my own writing there. There are sufficient courses within my program of study available each term. Anyway, you can read all these. I won't go through all these, but you get the idea that these are things that at ABC we can kind of hold up and say, wow, we're doing well in these areas. But then there's some areas of lower satisfaction. There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. The content of my courses within my major is valuable. Students seem to be a little bit dissatisfied. So as a faculty, we've already looked at this and we're working on this. I'm comfortable approaching the faculty about my spiritual and personal needs. It doesn't mean that these were real low, that as students you said, oh, these are really bad. It just means in comparison to other ABHE schools, we were a little bit lower. Campus is safe and secure. Faculty provide timely feedback about my academic progress, and the Institute helps me to find resources for my education. So these are some things that we've targeted to work on. The largest three areas, there was only three gaps between that. Remember what I said, what you considered important and what you felt like? There's only three that were above a one. Only three. And listen, that's pretty really unusual. I mean, I'm really thankful for that. But one of them is having an adequate amount of food. I tell you, I have never been in the cafeteria when there wasn't any food in there. But maybe it's the adequate selection. Maybe that's what they're getting at, okay. Anyway, the security staff respond quickly to calls for assistance. Well, I don't know. That's probably true. And living conditions in the residence halls are comfortable. So barely a one. But those are three areas now that we actually have already looked at and have already been incorporated into our strategic plan. And this one was upset us so bad, the third, we built a whole new dorm for you. So how about that? Now, just to compare you to other, that was us. We looked at ourselves. We looked at ABHE, but how about the whole nation? Because this is a survey. The SSI is taken by hundreds of thousands of students all across the country. And notice here in the yellow, I highlighted the gaps. Remember the gap. That's that difference between what I say is important and how I think the school is doing. You can see that some of them are very high, safety and security. And that's the order there. You know, number one, then recruitment. You see going down the line, these were gaps. At ABC, the largest gap we had campus life was less than a one even. And then you can see the other numbers there that were very small. The gaps were very small, and that's good, but we're still taking the gaps serious, and we want to try to continue working on them. Here's a great part of that survey. At ABC, college experience is better, much better, or quite a bit better than expected. ABHE school, 60% students said yes, they agreed with that. National was 49, at ABC it was 65. Overall satisfaction level, ABHE 72, National 54, and ABC is 82%. And definitely would probably enroll here again. You see the numbers there. So we're glad for these numbers, and it encourages us, but we want to keep working to get better. Here's another one that the staff took. Staff haven't even seen these yet. We took this Best Christian Workplace Survey, and we're getting ready to give this information out to the staff. But overall score out of five was a 4.2, and you can see down below with against certified schools, that is other schools that took this survey. And by the way, while it's going to be announced at ABHE this year, we have been selected as a Best Christian Workplace, so I'm really happy about that. And I'm excited about that. It's going to be announced more formally later, but you can see that they were at 4.04. So again, we had a higher level of engagement in the institution, and these are things we can be proud about and happy about in the Lord and thankful for. By the way, if you're thinking of, well, who's that compared to? Some of the institutions include Bethel University, Dallas Theological Seminary, Evangelical University, Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, Huntington University, Lincoln Christian College and Seminary, Master's College and Seminary, places like that. So we're thankful for that. And then in our own strategic plan, I'm going to move on here, okay? As we do our strategic planning, we have to be involved with assessment. And here it is right here, see? We articulated our mission, and then the next thing we did was we dealt with assessment. Where are we in relation to where we want to be? Isn't that a good question? As an institution, we ought to always be thinking, where are we in comparison to where we want to be? Because we always ought to be wanting to be, what did I say? Better. See, we're getting better, but we want to continue to get better. And maybe we could change the wording and ask this, are we where we want to be? Or maybe you could say, am I where I want to be in my walk with the Lord? It's the same question, isn't it? It's the same application. Institutionally, we want to be better. But how about you and how about me personally? Do I want to be better? And do I want to continue to be better? And that's the question. Am I where I want to be? And I want you to think about that question. So here's where it fits in. I'm going to, you know, it's interesting that out of our assessment, these five issues emerged over a year ago. And extension ministries, facilities, technology resources, student leadership development, professional development, student recruitment, and every one of these have become a part of our strategic plan. And we've already made great progress in some of these as well. Our technology has improved tremendously. Extension ministries is getting ready to build a new facility. We're working in areas of student leadership. The staff and faculty are working on ways we can develop professional development improvement and student recruitment. So these are areas that I'm really excited about. But I'm going to move on. I just throw this up here. I won't even sit in here very long, but I just quickly made a list of things that have changed at ABC in the last, you know, 5-6 years that I could think of just instantly because of assessment. And I won't even go through all these because there's a lot of them there. But I could have put 2 or 3 pages up. I just quit. Because I'm glad that that's happened. Now, let's make the application to ourselves. Turn to Psalm 139. And I appreciate Mr. Lilly reading these verses. And I hope that all that stuff I just gave you, it doesn't distract you or cloud the point that I hope that maybe the Lord can make in our heart today. If we put that much effort and time and energy and money into helping Appalachian Bible College to be better, how much more important it is that I as an individual want to make sure that I'm putting the right kind of effort into the Lord helping me and assessing my heart. And that's what these verses are all about here. You know, when you come to Psalm 139, if you have any small thoughts about God, well, listen, it's all over with because God magnificently transcends this psalm. And even with all of its height and all of the depth about God here, it's tremendously and intensely personal. And that's how David concludes it. You know, verses 1 to 6, you see the all-seeing God. You know, Lord, you've searched me, and you know my down-sitting and my uprising, and all these things. In verses 7 to 12, the all-present God. Wherever I go, you're there. In verses 13 to 18, the all-creative God. And it talks about how that, you know, God creatively formed David and all these wonderful things that he's done. And then in the last verses, 19 to 24, we see the all-holy God. And so look at verse 19. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with them that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. You know, even with all of this hatred, it's not spite, but it's zeal for God. You see the difference? David's not saying he hates people. He's saying, in comparison to his zeal for God, he hates all those who stand opposed to him. But he doesn't stop there. He continues. He doesn't confine his attack to the evil around him. Instead, he faces the most difficult thing that all of us face every day, and that's the evil within our own selves. Isn't that true? Well, there's all kinds of bad stuff going on around us, and we know that all around the world. Very little of it ever impacts you or me. Really? Isn't that true? But the evil within us impacts us every day. And that's where David turns his attention to. And he asks God to make an assessment of his life. Look what he says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So the first point here, I've got 5 quick points. Search me, know my heart. And this goes all the way back to verse 1 where he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. The idea of search means to examine intently. It's not a casual, haphazard look. That's kind of like we tend to do with a lot of things, don't we? I mean, we just sort of take a quick glance. Looks good enough to me, right? I mean, I do that. Good enough. That's good enough. Close enough. You know, that's good enough. I mean, God will forgive me if it's not close enough. We just sort of, this is not that way. This is an intimate examination into the heart, the center of everything, and usually use of our feelings and our will and even our intellect. And David is saying to God, search me and keep on searching me. I want to be better, but I want to keep on being better. It's not a one-time deal. And so he tells us, you know, the idea is that he's looking at every area of our life. And when we want God to assess us, we have to be willing to do that. Not just the things that are going well. It's easy to assess things that are going well. And you sort of naturally want to do that. But what about the things that aren't going well? We tend to sort of avoid that. And David hits it right on the head, doesn't he? He jumps right in. Search me. Know my heart. And then he says, try me. Know my thoughts. That's what he's saying here. Try, the word here is used of testing metals. It's like to, or it can be used to investigate, to examine, to prove. I like all these words: review, evaluate, judge, and appraise. Wow, David's saying, God, test me. Test me. I tell you, that's scary. Because God probably will. And do we really mean that? Do we really want God to test us? He says, you know my thoughts. The word thoughts here, back in verse 7, you look back at verse 17, he uses the word thoughts. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. That's a different word. That word there means like the word we think of as thoughts, ideas. You know, what a God, what do you think about me? How precious are your ideas about me, God? This word thoughts means cogitations, is the sort of the best way to interpret it. Cogitations, which is like deliberations, or even the word ruminations. Somebody used that word the other day in chapel. I think maybe it was Dr. Jordan. That's what it's talking about here. No, in other words, those things that I am thinking about, God, the things that are bothering me, the things that I'm struggling with, that's what I want you to know. Sure, certainly God knows me and my thoughts and my ideas, but how many times do I say to God, I want you to know where I'm struggling at, God. I want you to know where I'm having the difficulty. I want you to get in there and dig around in those areas that are bothering me, and I wake up at night about them, or I think about them in the day. They haunt me to a certain extent. We tend to sort of avoid those areas. Those aren't pleasant places. But David jumps right in there and says, God, I want you to try me and know my thoughts. Then he says, see me. That's the word search, is the word see me. Know my wicked ways. Search, I'm sorry, verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me. See, it's to perceive, it's to distinguish, it's to recognize. He means to identify is really what it's talking about here. And David's saying, God, take a look and tell me if you see some wicked way in me. The idea of way is the idea of a road. In other words, it's a course of life. It's a mode. It's a way of action. It's a journey. It's a direction I'm headed in. And David is saying to the Lord, I want you to see if I've got a wrong way, if I'm going the wrong way. That's what he's asking. Am I going the wrong way? Am I going down the wrong path, God? Tell me. I want to know. Search me. I may know it. I may think it. But God knows. And he's asking God to do that. And then lead me, know my good ways. That's the way I look at the next verse here, next phrase. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's the good way. Lead is to guide, it's to transport. Actually, it means to straighten. It means to straighten. And, you know, in Jeremiah 31:9, Jeremiah says, or God says, I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. That's what David is saying. God, I want you to lead me. I want you to help me see my good ways so I can follow those good ways. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Actually in Luke 3, verse 5, quoting from Isaiah, it says, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth. And that's what David is asking God to do. He's asking him to straighten those ways, you know, the good ways versus the wicked ways. Psalm 27:11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. That's what we ought to be asking God to do. Identify those wicked ways and then say, God, now help me in the right ways to go. Psalm 31:3, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You know, it's like you feel like, you ever get this way when you're going down the road, you're driving somewhere, and you all of a sudden you think you're lost. Anybody ever had that happen to you? I mean, you're not sure you're going the right way, and you know, maybe you got to be somewhere and you're going along, and then all of a sudden you come across a sign and you find out you're going the right way. Doesn't that feel good? Oh, wow, all right, you know. Because, you know, at least us guys, we're not going to stop and ask anybody how to get there, okay? And, you know, I can remember a few times when, you know, my wife might be saying, you know, maybe we ought to stop and check it. I'm like, oh, man, we're going the right way. Even though in my heart I'm like, I don't know if we're going the right way. And then I see the sign and I'm like, yes, we're going the right way. And that's what David's saying here. Yes, Lord, that's the way I want to go. That's right. Wow. Praise the Lord, I'm going the right way. Lead me that way. And then I want to add one other that actually comes out of Psalm 143 and verse 10. So just flip over to 143:10. I want to just add this last one. It says, teach me, do thy will. 143:10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The word teach here means to goad, to provoke, to prod, to push, to stimulate, to spur. That's a good word, isn't it? Because sometimes we need to be provoked. Hebrews 10:24 talks about being provoked unto good works. We need to be kind of pushed and prodded a little bit. And David is asking God to do that in his heart. As he says, as God, as you assess my life and you see the wicked ways, you see the problems I've got, and you search into my heart, help me, Lord, push me, prod me, encourage me, drive me to do the right thing, to go the right way, to do your will, to do your pleasure. That's what it's talking about. Now, let's go back to those first principles and we'll wrap it up here, okay? These are slightly adjusted principles that I want to apply to our lives from those initial principles I told you about our assessment plan. Principle one, believers require continuous review and adjustment to facilitate the achievement of God's will. Isn't that true? Continuous review and adjustment. Every day, we ought to be a little closer to being like the Lord, shouldn't we? Every day, I want to be like the Lord, and I want to work on it, but I've got to continually be doing that and constantly working on it. What is our goal? Conformity to Christ, isn't it? Every day I want to be like Christ. I want to be conformed to His will, and that's the point here. The second, well, hey, remember this line? Okay, my line's a little more crookedy than his, but that's what that's talking about, isn't it? Continuous review and adjustment. Now, he was talking about the way, and I'm saying that of God being conformed to God's will. This is what we're doing, aren't we? Working left and right, trying to narrow it down, okay? Principle two, an effective assessment program requires adequate resources. What are our resources that we have in order for God to assess us? Okay, right. I didn't put scripture down because we were working with that, but prayer and accountability. Prayer, we need to do like David. God, search my heart. Look into me and make me, force me, prod me to do the right thing. And then tell somebody to help you. Find an accountability partner. Maybe a spouse or a friend or a special friend or somebody who can check you out, okay? That's a good thing to do. Principle three, the individual believer in collaboration with the Holy Spirit will have the responsibility for the design, selection, and implementation of assessment. See, it's nobody else's job. It's nobody else's fault if we don't do assessment. We can't blame anybody. It's our fault, isn't it? And it's important that we work with the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to help us to dig into those areas that we need to have dug into our lives, and that we do it. Implementation. We can talk about it, but we got to do it, okay? And the old phrase, no pain, no gain, okay? We can't be lazy. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about believers who are slothful. And we can't do that. In terms of institutionally, if the ABHE shows up this September and we hand them a half a sheet of paper and say, here's our assessment plan, it's all over, okay? We got to work at it. Number four. For an assessment initiative to be successful, results in my daily walk with Christ should be used for the purpose of measuring and improving effectiveness. And that's kind of where I've already been at. But I want to remember Dr. Jordan said this? This is how he described it? Progressively complete obedience lived out in the world. Remember him saying that? That's what he's talking about here, improving effectiveness. And then the last principle, assessment is a long-term, ongoing process involving continuous change and improvement. And Dr. Jordan also had this quote, a long obedience in the same direction. Remember that? That's what this is talking about here. So the question is, what can I do? You know, I've told you all this stuff. Now what are you going to do about it? What can we do about it? You know, some assessments are easy. You're walking along, you see a skunk. I can think that over real quick. I'm out of there, okay? It didn't take long to assess that. Or here's another one. You go to the refrigerator, you open up a carton of milk, you stick it up to your nose to smell it, and it's sour. guess what? It's poured down the drain. It doesn't take less for those kind of assessments, okay? But some assessments are harder. It's going to take work. And I've got a couple ideas for you here, okay? I got a couple websites here that I know you won't be able to write these down because they're too long, but I'll be glad to get them to you later on. But these are the six areas I think that I'm going to ask God to assess me in. I'm going to challenge anybody that wants to go with me on this journey, but I'm going to do it. Abiding in Christ, living in the Word, praying in faith, fellowshipping with believers, witnessing to the world, and ministering to others. And there's two instruments. One's this one. I took this personal spiritual growth inventory online, and I will not share the results with you, okay? But I'm working on this one right here. This is just one page out of a whole set of document I got. It came online. It's from Lifeway, it's a Southern Baptist organization, but they have great material, okay? And it's this big, it's this thick, and it's a personal growth assessment process. Listen to some of these questions. I practice in a regular quiet time and look forward, I can't even read it, and look forward to the time with Christ. When making choices, I seek Christ's guidance first. My relationship with Christ is motivated more by love than duty or fear. Live in the Word. I regularly read and study my Bible. I believe the Bible is God's Word and provides His instructions for life. On and on and on. You actually then have three other people give you an assessment on you. It's a very neat process, and if anybody wants to go down the journey, I'll be glad to share the information with you to do that. You know, don't wait. Don't put it off. Don't wait too long. If we wait till September, like I said, it's too late. So suppose Uzzah recognized that maybe he always acted too impetuously. And so he decided right after he helped David move the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, he was going to sit down and do some personal assessment about this. Too late, right? Too late. And there's a lot of Christians, there's a lot of believers. I don't know that there's anybody in this room here, but there's a lot of believers that put off assessing their spiritual life until it's too late. And they go down the path, the wrong path. They fall into some kind of sin. It ruins their testimony. And they're not able to serve the Lord to the extent that God wanted to use them for. And I hope that won't be true of me. I don't want it to be true of me. I don't want it to be untrue. So, not as though I had already attained, but follow after, if that I may apprehend. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pursue assessment God's way, just like David did in Psalm 139. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the encouragement that it is to us. Help us to be a people who seek after you, who want you to search our hearts and change us. Be willing to make these adjustments that we need to make along the way. We don't want to be stubborn and rebellious, but Lord, we want to be pliable in your hands. And we know assessment is one of the ways that will help us to do that. And so help each one of us, Lord, to take a personal assessment today and then do something about it. In Jesus' name, amen.